It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikin.
And good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
Hi, Jane Marie. Jane Marie and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combo of Jane Marie, myself, and Phil Vacchio are here every single weekend talking to you guys about estate planning and elder law, everything from wills and powers of attorney to trusts and long-term care at home or elsewhere. It's a call-in show, and you can reach us at 518-476-5900. Laura from Albany, I know you're listening, and you can call 518-476-5900.
That was a nice shout out.
Well, I met Laura from Albany, and she said that she listens. And I said, I asked her, do you have a phone? She said she does. So who knows, Laura? Just kidding. And if you want to meet with Jane Marie or Phil or myself in one of our four offices in Albany, Saratoga Springs, up in Queensbury, down in Kingston, it's 518-465-7581. Jane Marie, good morning. How are you?
I am well. Good morning.
Ben?
Good morning. I'm good.
Every single time I hear the Beatles as our introduction, I'm like, is this real?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It also takes me back, Ben, to like, you could just tell me that it's 2019 right now. I'd be like, yep.
Yep.
Nothing changes.
Nope. Still the same.
That song is still great every time you hear it.
Every time. So guys, this is a busy May 2nd. Kentucky Derby Day. Who you got, Ben?
I'm not sure. I haven't decided yet.
What's the weather like in Kentucky?
I hear it's supposed to rain, but we'll see.
I feel like
it rains every year.
I know. Yeah, so then all heck breaks loose.
That's right. They'll run it right around 7 o'clock.
Okay. Well, if you got a pointer out there and you want to tell us a good tip,
Go for the mint juleps, that's all.
Smart. You never lose. Jane Marie has won 20 straight Kentucky.
Yes, she has.
That strategy.
Congratulations.
Well, that's busy. I actually forgot about the Derby. I have a wonderful day because my son Alex turned 7 today.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Yeah. You want to talk about... Alex, happy birthday. We love you.
Yes.
If you want to talk about how time flies...
I remember... When he was born, you know?
Me too.
I'm sure you remember it more than me. But
7 years?
I can't
believe
that's 7 years ago.
Right? Unreal.
That is crazy.
Unreal. And to celebrate, we have a Little League doubleheader. And hopefully, it creeps above 45 degrees today.
We'll see. It's supposed to get in the mid-50s. You're good.
At 11?
I'd wear a sweatshirt.
Okay.
No, probably not.
All right.
48, maybe.
Yeah. Hopefully no rain by then.
No.
Yeah. You know, Jane Marie, we always talk about 5-year look backs and so on. Inevitably, say, I thought it was 7 or whatever.
Right.
But I always say to people that 5 years is diabolical because it is simultaneously a wink, like you just came and went. Oh my God, it's been 5 years. And it also, if you're not doing great, it is a long, long time.
And also, things change a lot in 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, in another 5 years, he'll be...
I don't want to... Jane Marie.
There you go.
Come on, Jane Marie.
Okay, all right.
Please.
And how old is your daughter?
Now you... If you want to make me cry in front of Ben, you're doing your magic. She's going to be 13 this year.
A teenager.
I don't even... Yeah.
So 5 years from now, she'll be applying to college and driving.
She'll actually be like at orientation.
Okay. And she'll be driving and all kinds of crazy stuff. And have a boyfriend.
Nope.
No,
not allowed. I told my daughter she couldn't date until she was 30. She got married at 30.
Yeah, and when's the last time your daughter spoke to you?
She still speaks to me. She knows. She still speaks to me. I almost got her there.
Well, you know, with the 5-year thing, a lot of times, Jamie, you may be a young family, and all of a sudden you're parents of teenagers, or in your case, parents of kids out of the house.
Right.
And it might be time for you to be thinking of a trust instead of a will as your big document.
Yes, absolutely. So wills are something, like I just met with a young couple this week, basically a baby and a toddler, and they're going to do a will, right?
Because
they just need to get a guardian in there for their kids. That's perfectly appropriate for them. You know, not really a need for a trust. But as you get older, there's lots of reasons to do a trust, which we're going to talk about some of those today. Right?
Yeah. So why don't we start with like even more basic? So Jane Marie, your clients come in and they say, I was told I don't have enough money for a trust, or I was told that I don't need a trust. What actually is a trust? If you create a trust during your life, what is that? What does that mean?
So a trust is just it's a legal entity that you're creating just to hold your assets, just to, it doesn't involve fees or lots of money. You could just put your house into a trust. You don't have to have a lot of money to put into a trust.
Right. So it is a estate planning tool. It is a document that will show people how you want to leave certain assets. So just like a will may reflect your wishes to say, I want to leave things to Ben Patton, everything to Ben
Thank
Patton.
Thank you.
Yeah, all my personal property to Ben Patton as an example. Yeah.
You want to spell?
This is a good day.
Spell your name so people can add you to the will.
B-E-N. So it's like a will in that it serves that purpose, but it's not like a will because of the whole probate thing. So number one, if we want to get to that result and not go through this thing called probate, trusts seem to be a good idea. And it's not about how much money you have. It's about whether we want to avoid probate. So, Jamie, back to you real quick. What in 26 minutes or less, what is probate?
Oh, yeah, probate. Well, so the example is a lot of clients, their parent dies and they're like, well, I'm the executor. Why can't I just go to the bank and get their bank account?
Right.
And yes, you're named the executor in the will, but legally you can't do anything until you go through a proceeding with the court that confirms that will and appoints you as the executor. So you have to wait for court approval and go through a whole court process before you can do that.
Guys, if you have a will out there, that's the only big legal document you have for who gets your money one day, and you're listening to us right now, your will is meaningless. Mm-hmm. And we should be very happy your will is meaningless because it means you're still alive,
that's number one. That's right.
But, probate is, a will doesn't matter until two things happen. Number one, you die. Number two, your will is proven in court to, in fact, be your last will and testament. Mm-hmm. It was done the right way. It was witnessed the right way.
Right.
You knew the natural objects of your bounty. You knew the extent of your estate. And, you kind of had your wits. Mm-hmm. And so the court doesn't just take your word for it. They don't just see Jamie's signature as a witness and say, okay, it must be fine.
Right.
They actually give people who stand to get less because of your will, they actually have a right to contest your will. And most of the time that doesn't happen.
Does not happen most of the time.
But every time your will does have to go through that process if you have like a house in your name or a bank account without a beneficiary. So, Jamie, let's focus on a house, right? Most people own homes. I think most people one day are going to pass away, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
If you pass away owning a home, that home can't be sold. We can't retitle it unless someone has the authority to do so. And that's typically like the executor on a will. But we got to go through this probate thing. If you have a trust.
Well, just to clarify on the house, that's usually when the second spouse dies.
Yes. Yeah.
I would say 90% of clients, the house is in joint name. And I'm just saying 90%.
I had one of the 10%ers.
I did too, because yesterday I had to go to the client's house to sign a deed, and I was shocked. It was like 30 years old, and it was just in her name. Who knows why?
Where that happens sometimes, it's because 30 years ago, husband's, work was a little, chaotic and, out of abundance of caution, we're just going to put the house in wife's name or vice versa. So we'll get to that because normally you're right. We want to say to people, probate is a thing when the second spouse dies. Typically, if I, God forbid, passed away right now, everything goes to Isabel, snap of a finger, because that's just how we have things titled.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
If it turns out that my Starbucks was poisoned, then there might be a lawsuit. Maybe we are going to, take a will through court.
Oh, I thought you meant Isabel poisoned your Starbucks.
No.
Sorry.
She would never.
She does not.
So, a house is an example of something that goes through probate. And if during your life you take your house and you put it into a trust, your trust, it's got your name on it, you still pay all the bills of your home. But when you die one day, Jamie, you actually didn't own the home. Technically, that entity you were talking about, that trust, is the owner of the home. So we don't look at your will to see who gets that home. It's like looking at your will to see who gets the Brooklyn Bridge. It doesn't matter what you say, right? I could leave the Brooklyn Bridge to Ben Patton. In fact, I did, Ben.
Thank you.
Will? You put that in?
Yeah. You don't need to get a moving truck or anything, that you will not be inheriting the Brooklyn Bridge.
Okay.
Because I don't own it.
Right.
So when you have a trust, we say to people, it's a great way to avoid probate because you can have your assets, your house and money passed to who you want, how you want, whenever you want, without the will's rules saying it. It'll be the trust's rules that say it. And Jeremy, a lot of times people don't understand because they always say, what's the difference between a will and a trust? Mm-hmm. Your trust, there are pages in it where if you're not reading carefully, you would think you're reading a will.
Yes.
Because it says who gets, it says the whole story.
It's very similar to the will. It names all your beneficiaries, all the contingencies. You know, some of the terms are different. Instead of an executor, you'll have a successor trustee take over in your death.
Yeah.
But it does all the same things as a will does without going to court.
So what's the big deal about probate, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm sure trusts cost a lot of money, right? And wills cost less. So there we go. There are these attorneys that are just trying to make more money. Tell us to do a trust instead of a will. Well, time is money. Mm-hmm. You know, hiring an attorney is money. You know, paying the National Grid bill because we can't sell the house, mom and dad's house yet because we have to go through this process in court is money. And, you know, we like analogies at Herzog and wills and trusts. What's the difference? Well, if we're trying to get to Lake George from Albany, that's our goal, our destination. A will is Route 9 going north. We'll get there. I promise. Ben, we'll get there.
I know we will.
It'll take a little bit, pack a lunch, but we will get there.
That's right.
Bunch of stoplights. It doesn't ruin the plan, but it just takes a little longer. It does cost some money. Or we take the north way, which would be my choice.
Faster.
Faster.
Zoom right up there.
Where did we get to? The same exact place. So it's getting to the same place a little faster. And so that's why we, and I think other attorneys that do what we do, kind of go out of our way to speak about how great trusts are.
Right.
Because we would much rather talk to your family after you pass about this is how easy things are going to be. And we just are on the sidelines to guide you as you sell your home and distribute assets, as opposed to we have to go through surrogates court. We do not want to go through surrogates court.
Even if you're not having a contested will, it's a slow process. And it's become slower, maybe because we're getting more populated up here. Like down in any of the counties in New York City, it could take 9 months to a year to get your letters executorship.
Yeah, and that's not how long like the whole process takes.
No, that's just
how
to get appointed.
Yeah, right? Like the beginning of the process.
That you can't do anything until that happens. And it's starting to happen up in some of the upstate counties. It's not 9 months, but it's a couple of weeks, or, you know, it used to be instantaneously. Right?
Yeah. And because it's a legal proceeding where there might be people who have an adverse position, right? The court doesn't know. So that they say you got to contact all these people, and we typically have them sign waivers. So, you know, the probate, whenever it's easy, it's still work. It's still kind of a pain in the butt. And it still takes time. When it's difficult, it's years, plural years, to administer an estate, because we may need to find that relative that no one knows where they are. Or when we find them, we need to serve them with like legal process. Are you Ben Patton? Yes, here's an envelope, right? Like we got to find you. We got to hire someone to serve you. And sometimes people say, well, I'm not signing that.
Right.
So now we got to go to court. Right. For a court appearance. And
I have a client that we're doing the probate for, and one of the siblings is in a nursing home, so we can't just go forward. We have to do something called a guardian ad litem to represent his interests.
That seems like the worst thing ever.
It's delaying our whole process for a very simple transaction where they have a contract to sell the house.
Try to avoid probate. We're going to talk a little more about that in the second half of the show. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And my name is Jane Marie Schaefer.
It's been 15 minutes. We still have not heard from Laura in Albany.
Oh.
You got a better shot of hearing from Alex. And he's probably not even awake yet.
No, he is awake. Got some press. It's actually funny. He wanted to open up his presents, and Isabel said, you can't until Jackie's awake. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he was like, Jackie!
Goes wake her up.
No, let her sleep. That's not what we meant.
It's like Christmas morning.
Yeah. Christmas.
Want to open as soon as possible. Start playing with everything.
Exactly. 518-476-5900 is the number if you dare call. But I understand if you don't, because we're on a roll. Mm-hmm. We're talking about why it's a good idea to think about a trust. We can't ever say you got to do a trust. We don't even know you. We got to meet you and look at all the facts. Because, Jamie, I think the next step, all right, fine, avoid probate. But there are certain times where it really does make sense to do a trust, and it's not just, obviously it's protecting for long-term care needs,
right?
But it actually goes beyond that. There's a lot of other situations where we're really, I'm not going to say we're pushing a trust, but it makes a little more sense to do it, or the stakes are a little higher.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probate avoidance, but there's some other circumstances too, where you may need a trust where they're based on the types of assets you own, or let's say you have a second home in Florida, right?
So, yeah, let's talk about that. So you do have a second home in Florida. You've never invited me down to it, but that's fine. So how does that work?
So if I had a second home in Florida and I died with my will, we just talked about how horrible probate could be in New York, right? And let's say I get appointed in New York as the executor, and then I have to go to Florida. I can't do anything with that Florida property because I need to do probate down in Florida.
So Florida will say, that's great that you are able to act in New York for this estate, Jamie, but that's New York and we're Florida, and we have different rules,
right?
And we want to make sure that you follow our rules when you're in Florida. So you're going to file paperwork in Florida. You're going to hire a Florida attorney. The Florida attorney is going to see a call from the 518 area code and start, counting their money, because they're going to say there's no way you're doing it yourself in Florida.
Right.
You got to hire me and I can tell you any price. And now we say the only thing worse than one probate, Ben, is
two
probates.
Got it.
Exactly right. So that's one of the instances. And I say even easier, look, if you own real estate and we're planning on continuing to own real estate, I'm always pushing trust. If you're 35 years old and you own a house, I'm not telling you to do a trust.
Right.
If you're 50 years old, I'm probably not telling you to do a trust. But as we get older, we're in our forever home. We don't know what the future holds. I do know we're going to die one day. And if we happen to pass owning real estate, Jamie, it's not a maybe there'll be a probate. Unless you plan, there will be a probate.
Right.
There's no way around it.
Right. And putting your trust in your house in the trust is really so easy, because there's nothing else really to do after you put it in the trust. No ongoing, costs, accountings. You don't have to file a tax return if it's your house.
You still pay all your bills.
You still pay all your bills. Right. No difference to you day to day after you put your house in the trust.
You even keep your STAR exemption if you have a STAR exemption or a homestead exemption down in Florida.
Absolutely, you do.
And there's different kinds of trusts. We're talking generic here, guys, because any of the trusts, revocable or the Medicaid trust, you're maintaining certain powers in either of those trusts and certain responsibilities like paying all the bills. Well, maybe I do want to sell my house one day. If it's in a trust, I was told I can't sell my house.
Yeah, nope, that's wrong. You can sell your house and buy another one.
I must have been mistaken.
That's right.
And the so let's just touch on that for a second. Jamie, you decide, New York is not for me anymore. I'm gonna be a permanent Florida resident going forward. And your trust at your direction, right, is going to sell your New York house.
Right.
Where does the money from the sale go?
It goes into a trust bank account. And so it's technically owned by the trust. So I want to put it in a trust bank account to keep it in the trust. And now that money is used to buy my new Florida house.
Right. Or it just, you know, if you already have the Florida place, it'll just stay as money and invest it as you please.
Right.
If you have a, you know, a Medicaid trust, we like that. We do want the money to start still in your trust because we're still trying to protect value, whether it's a house or money.
Right.
If you have a revocable trust or even if you want some of the money from the Medicaid trust, there are ways to take the money out of the trust so you could go on a cruise around the world or whatever you feel like doing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Cruise around the world. That's what I'm doing with Michael's life insurance money.
Oh, Jane Marie.
I've been saying that forever.
Yeah. Well, wow.
I'm going to be so sad I have to do something, you know.
You, God willing, you're going to be old and gray and you're not going to be going anywhere, please. We love you, Michael. So another really big reason to think about a trust, if we have a fact pattern where you're leaving things to all your kids evenly and life is great and everyone gets along, probate is less of a big deal because it's paperwork. Yes, it's annoying. Yes, it takes time, but it's not going to be years.
No.
And we're not jeopardizing the final result.
It won't be years, but it'll be a year. It'll be 1 year because you can't close your estate for at least 7 months after you're appointed. So, you know, typically by the time you get appointed and all that happens, it's going to be almost a year. And that means you have to go back to court, file paperwork to close out the estate.
Yeah.
And creditors can file claims during that period of time.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest creditors is Medicaid coming back in to snatch the money that they've been paying. So we avoid probate would be wonderful. If you have a family tree where everyone doesn't get along, if you have a family tree where you are not treating each of your children the exact same, the kids who are getting less, the kids that are no longer, you know, actively part of the family, the kids who are incapacitated, the kids that have, you know, special needs, and they all have legal standing to contest this thing. So again, tracking them down might be an issue. They can hold things hostage. We're obviously planning for good news all the time. And it would be wonderful if every client has a, you know, wonderful life without any litigation and without any conflict within their family. I know how families work. I think everyone here knows how families work. That's not always the case.
Right.
And when that's not the case, it's bad enough when we lost mom and dad. Now we need to deal with sibling that we haven't talked to in years and years and years. Right. And it's awful. You know, it's the type of situation where if we have a family meeting, we have people in different conference rooms because they can't all be in the same room.
Oh, yeah. I had to do that. Did you?
Yeah, of course. I had actually a long, long time ago, it was a gentleman who was in the process of getting divorced, but had not gotten divorced yet. But I think he thought he was getting divorced and he went to Atlantic City and yada, yada, yada. He had a heart attack and passed away. And all of a sudden, all these properties had to be divided between mom and kids. But nobody got along. Everyone hated each other.
Oh, boy.
And there was just a bunch of closings with different conference rooms and going from one to the other with papers. So
I had a case where it was tangible personal property and the one sibling brought it in so the other sibling could pick it up, right? But they were in separate rooms because they didn't want to see each other. So we had to go from one room to the other. And before that, there was a whole long discussion about which pieces of personal property they were picking.
Oh, man.
Right. Sometimes those personal property disputes get very nasty.
We have a complicated family, let's say. Everyone gets along, but you know what? She's got kids from a previous relationship. I have kids from a previous relationship. We can't get away with the basic wills anymore when those are happening. So there's not a conflict per se, but there's just complication in what the family tree looks like. Yes, I want to leave everything to my second wife. She wants to leave everything to me, but then she wants to make sure that money goes back to her kids, or I want to make sure money goes back to my kids. Wills don't typically do that, Jamie, because if I do a I love you will everything to my wife, she may decide she doesn't like my kids anymore down the road. So trusts end up being a really great way to formalize a plan where we know we take care of each other, but then all of our kids, some of our kids, just your kids, whatever we agree to is how the you know, pie ends up being split down the road too. So trusts are a great way to accomplish that as well.
Yeah, that makes sure that it goes to your kids afterwards or whoever you want to afterwards. It's the only way you can guarantee that result.
And we're just talking about additional reasons it makes sense to do a trust, because the real big one is you don't just do any trust. You do the Medicaid Asset Protection Trust, because the biggest thing we're worried about, it's not just how do we get to Lake George, mm-hmm. how fast we don't want the luggage to fall off the car. We don't want to mm-hmm. lose value in the estate. Mm-hmm. We do that Medicaid trust to try to protect assets.
Right. And your house is your biggest asset generally. And if you have, if you go into a nursing home and you're on Medicaid, they're going to have a lien against your house. Or they'll have a lien against your estate that gets paid when you die from your estate, which consists of your house. And then when you sell your house, Medicaid is right there to collect the money.
Now, if you're listening out there, you're going to think, well, geez, they really think I should do a trust. We actually don't think that because we don't know you. We haven't met mm-hmm. you. What we think you should do is come in to talk about it right. because mm-hmm. all your facts matter and all your future mm-hmm. plans matter. The family tree matters. You know, mm-hmm. it's not about when people do trusts, it's not about how much money you have. Right. No. That's why people do trust fund. You do a trust fund for somebody. It might be because right. there's a lot of money. Right. And you're the heir of the Hilton Hotel.
Oh yeah, no, we're not doing. We're not talking about those types of trust.
This is just a set of rules, just like a will is a set of rules without the whole court part. And you could come into one of our offices at 518-465-7581. Four really great locations. We're they're really nice.
They're all really nice. Now.
And with very nice people as well. They'll smile and welcome you in. But we want to meet with you for an hour and go through your facts to figure out what the right mix is going to be for you. Mm-hmm. A couple of things always are absolute, like you need a power of attorney, you need a healthcare proxy, you need a living will, and then some document, will or trust, sometimes both, that say where your money goes, how and when. You got to have a plan.
You have to. We're not going to force one plan. Each plan is unique to you, which is what's really great. That's why we got to know you. Right?
One more piece of the puzzle here, Jamerie, is if we have a diagnosis. That's not a great one. Not even a diagnosis that means the end is coming sooner. I mean, a diagnosis that means that the future is going to be a little harder, right? Dementia,
right.
Parkinson's, MS, you name it. It becomes even more important to be proactive, because when it comes to probate, you can in theory plan a day before your passing.
You can get a trust done the day before.
Sure. Right. You could do a deed, or we could figure out a way to put beneficiaries on everything when the end is near. Mm-hmm. When the end is not near, but we know it's going to be a tough road, there are look back periods and we need to plan ahead of time. It's not the type of thing where you just kick it down the road over and over and over. At some point, we got to act. Right. If you're 50, I get it. You're 60. I kind of get it. Yeah, no, it sounds fine. You're 70. We got to act.
If you got to act.
Yeah. If you care about long-term care expenses and we care about them, if you don't care about them, I don't care about them if you don't, right? And the kind of plan we create is going to be catered to what your wishes are. We're not shoving trust down everyone's throat here. We're educating and just making sure that whatever your wishes are, I want to make things easy for my kids. Well, we got a plan for that. If you say, I don't want the government to get another red cent, well, then you got a plan. Right. Otherwise, there are many chances that the government does get money from you.
I was thinking that if I could have a dollar for everyone who said I should have done this sooner.
You put it in a trust.
Well done, Ben.
Thanks. That's great. I mean, you too. Don't you hear that all the time?
Yeah, that and I think Phil was mentioning it last week, which is you end up talking to someone, and as you explain to them, especially that Medicaid trust and the features of it, they often are saying, well, you know, why wouldn't someone do this?
Right.
And there are plenty of reasons to not do them, right? We won't go into them right now. We're at the end of the show. But, you know, you got to come in and talk about it. Happy birthday, Alex.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.